This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the Woman's Head of Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I'm going to be joined by Danny Baker. There is no guest this weekend. It's just the two of us who will be rattling on about all things Wimbledon. So let me introduce Danny Baker. How are we? You all right?
Hey, just the two of us. Candlelight dinner, me and you. Well, those who don't know, Lee's got some lovely black satin curtains in the background. It's very... sort of very 80s chic from you, Lee, with your nice beard.
I'm in the boudoir.
Is it Valentine's Day already, is it? Yeah.
When the magic happens.
Plenty of magic. A disappearing act by your wife, by the looks of it.
Well, I did say I'm in the bedroom because our flat's been decorated. So we're staying with the mother-in-law at the moment, which ain't great. But yeah, I don't pay rent for a little while. So
she's all right. But no, I'm all right. Yeah, a bit sort of, recovered from Saturday. Obviously recovered from the Mourn Fest, Leicester Queen. And now that was all done. It was actually quite interesting watching it. But it does. I just feel so sorry for Prince Charles. Anyway, question, obviously, as usual. I want to talk about sponsorship, Mr. Finch, Mr. Yep. Chips. Lots of chat in the office at work about sponsorship and, you know, Carling Premiership and talking about betting companies. Where do you sit on sponsorship? Do you think it's, I mean, let's be honest, right? Did anyone really, like, think, right, Holston Peels Tottenham, I've got to buy a bottle of Holston? No. I never see a company and go, hey, bet. I need to go and bet. I mean, am I underplaying this? Or
do you feel like I agree. It's like with the motor racing. The motor racing stopped having, cigarettes,
yeah.
Well, I've never smoked, never wanted to smoke, hated the stuff. You know, if you wanted to smoke, that's up to you. You kind of got pushed into it at kind of school, didn't you, really, if you were going to be a smoker? You thought you'd be cool and stuff like that, but... Yeah, I never saw a Formula One car and go, oh, look at that, like, what is it, cigarettes? I'd like to go and have a smoke now. And as you said, Holston Peels, yeah, I don't really, do you know what I mean? I thought, oh, it's a weird one for me, because obviously we had the same, didn't we, with a betting company wanted to sponsor the ground or something.
That's it, and we had a big vote about it. But I mean,
I don't think it was a big vote, but yeah, kind of went.
I don't quite understand, Lee, the logic between, and again, the question I guess was, is that if a company came in, to pay us a decent whack, would you take the money for the sponsorship? Bear in mind, obviously, sponsorships, we need some sponsorship and we're struggling. Would that be something that you would take? I personally don't. I would take it. It doesn't affect me. If it's a, you know, I would take from a cigarette company, an alcohol company. But what I don't like is, and again, it's this sort of, maybe it's woke culture, I don't know, this sort of sweeping statement of, all these alcohol companies, or all the betting companies, or all the cigarette companies, because after a while we're running out of We're running out of companies. You know what
it's
mean?
Like with the betting company, they said, want to sponsor Graham. And we said, no, because betting leads to, do you know what I mean? I had a gambling issue when I was growing up, which I've kind of, lucky enough, got out of pretty quickly. I was quite lucky with that aspect, but that still don't, it won't stop, it won't make me do it again. That's my personal issues. But I just think that we have the Sky Bet League 2. What do? Pull out of that because they're sponsored by the gambling 100%. Company. People have issues with alcohol. Do we stop selling beer at the grounds and just do 0% alcohol at the grounds? Or, do you know what I mean? It does get, I agree with you. It's like Football Manager can be quite addictive. Do we stop them from sponsoring us now as well? Because people stay up all night and they have lost marriages over playing Football Manager. Do we then? Do we stop that?
It's staggering. Like, I don't understand how someone can say you can't have a pint of lager and you can't advertise lager because it's alcohol, because it's bad. But yet gambling, it's okay. And then actually, you know what? No, you can't do this, but McDonald's is all right. It's like chocolate bar. Like, they've got the cricket and everyone's like, oh, this is great. They're sponsored by crisps. Come on, mate. You're sponsored by a load of crisps here. You've got hula hoops on the front of your shirt and you're talking about what wholesome British companies. It's like, come on, if you want to really be good, I mean, I'm not being funny. I can't think of many companies who either employ, you know, employ people with the right money, are good for you, or I can't imagine. Like, can you imagine being sponsored by WH Smith? I mean, we're absolutely ridiculous.
You know, like, the only issue I've got with WH Smith.
It was a terrible right back.
You know, WH Smith, really funny. Like, then why are they only at airports?
Mate, they have vanished off like the face of the world.
But they're only at airports or train stations. Like, why is that? Why, like, and why do you have to have about 3 or 4 of them at the airport? Why not just have one? But it's really weird. It's, there was a geezer done a little comedy sketch on it. It's brilliant. But yeah, sponsorships, it's a strange one because look at Newcastle. Newcastle fans didn't give a crap, really, that they've just been owned by the Saudi state who do awful things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And once, it's a weird one with football because if Saddam Hussein was still alive and he came in to buy AFC Wimbledon, do you know what I mean? I don't think too many of us would go, oh, wait a minute, can't, like, who is this mad bastard? We'd look at the money and go, oh, can we build Plough Lane to be a Premiership football ground? Do you know what I mean? Can we get players that we need? There'll be a lot of fans, obviously, at Wimbledon who would say no, and morally that's correct. But as I said, look at Newcastle. They've totally gone away from who owns them and what they do with regards to human rights and stuff, and it's kind of forgotten, isn't it, with football. It's a strange one, football. Like, I can understand what you're saying. I can understand where people are saying, yeah, you shouldn't have sponsors because of, like, people getting obese and people having alcohol problems. But at the end of the day, we're all grown-ups and we should be able to, do you know what I mean, and be able to teach our kids right from wrong as well and what we, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, I mean, I'm with, like I said, it just for me, it seems weird that if they're making this amount of money and they can put back into a football team and offer the community something, then I'm okay with that. It's just a question of, I'm not asking, you know, heroin RS on the front of your shirt. And like, of course you don't. But I don't understand if someone is selling Fosters or whatever it was. I mean, I'm only talking about 20 years ago. Like, you know, the Foster, it was, you know, the Oval was sponsored by Fosters. We were the Carling Premiership. You've got, you know, the Coca-Cola Cup. I mean, it's absolutely, it's a farce.
But look at the Carabao Cup, the Carabao Cups.
This is Papa John's. This is Papa John's. This is pizza. One of the worst farts. If anyone's like me who's got a slight wheat intolerance, having a pizza, I come out looking pregnant. It's horrendous. So how you can kind of, like, you know, if anyone's had an extra spicy chili on their pizza, I mean, that is life-threatening. So I'm all for all sponsorship, as long as illegal.
The worst one is why people have these, the battles with certain brands as well. It's like McDonald's. People, no, McDonald's is so bad. But yeah, as you said, Papa John's seems to be okay. Do you know what I mean? It's true, though. Like, McDonald's used to sponsor everything, didn't they? And you think people had a go at McDonald's for their sponsorship. But do you know how much what they did for the community and stuff and putting into grassroots football?
They used to do loads.
Loads of money into it. But because they sold greasy food, which you don't have to eat, do you know what I mean? You don't have to go out and buy 20 cheese... Like, I'm one of these people, though, that go to McDonald's and have a cheeseburger chaser. Do you know what I mean? You get the main meal and then you get the... And now they've done the triple cheeseburger. It's stitched up, no end. But there's no one who goes to McDonald's who don't have a main meal and then they have a cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, triple cheeseburger on the side. No way.
Love it. Oh, no, darling, can I get a Big Mac meal and a cheeseburger tracer?
But it's that's what that
you won't be chasing anyone after.
Tell
that.
Me one person that don't go to McDonald's, order themselves a main meal, and don't have that extra cheeseburger. But we don't have to have that. Again, it's not like I see loads of McDonald's around the place, but oh, I fancy a McDonald's now. So I mean, I think, oh, I fancy a burger. But like what you said, look at we've got the what's it called in the back at the fan zones now. The food outlets and stuff like that. We stop selling them because they're not selling vegan? Do you know what I mean? Or,
but the other thing that's weirdly, right, if you're sponsored by Ryman, right, as an example, I'm not ever going to watch a game and go, God, I must buy them biros. I'm just never going to do it. I'm never, ever going to look at Ryman and go, I must buy those, you know, I must buy them. Or, I should really get life insurance. I mean,
Do you know biros as well is a strange game? Because it's only Bic that pretty much run it, isn't it?
Well, Bic run this joint. You can, I mean, there's loads.
Bic run biros. There's no other. Tell me another biro make.
Wilco.
No, it's Bic. Bic only. But yeah, again,
and the Raiders.
With you. I don't see the Ryman. When we were going through the combined counties,
I wasn't buying more paper. Put it that way.
But the combined counties. Who was it? What league? What cup did we play in the
season? Was it Seagrave Haulage League?
Seagrave Haulage. I didn't ring them up and think, oh yeah, I need to send something overseas. Do you know what I mean? Or so I'll get.
I find the sponsorship thing really interesting.
We're recording this as the Papa John's Trophy's been played because we've all got stuff on this week, so we had to record a bit earlier. But I'm not seeing Western Waste and thinking, oh shit, yeah, I better put my bins out.
I know, it's just, but this is where the whole the advertising thing is weird. You know, it's fine if they want to put whatever they're doing, but I find it fascinating how the government will go, yeah, you can't do that. But by the way, you can advertise a pizza brand because bearing in mind, if you eat a pizza or you eat a Big Mac, I know which one's worse for you. You're going to eat more pizza than you are.
It's like Cherry Red Records. I'm not stopping using Spotify now because I've seen Cherry Red Records.
I know. It was a conversation because we got some. Our office is split between sort of the football bods and the rugby bods. And the rugby, I love the fact. And again, I love rugby, but it's the whole rugby guys who are like, rugby's this game of respect, yeah. And they end up beating the hell out of each other. But it's okay because after the game, when the cameras are all done, they all shake hands. Well, that's fantastic. And they moan about football being no respect because they shout at the referees. But the moment you touch a player, they get a red card, they're gone. And I'm like, well, where's your respect then?
I don't like the argument with rugby bods that they say there's no respect in football when they beat the living crap out of each other in a fight. Yeah, that's respectful, isn't it? Like kids watching two.
When another team commit a foul, they're like, yeah, and they clap each other and they're patting the opposition. I just find that it's an interesting debate because the rugby conversation about respect is all about respecting your opponent or the referee, and then you're beating the hell out of them. I find it interesting.
You're middle class, though, aren't you, Dan? You work at a middle class school. That's why you have the rugby bods and the football bods. Me, I'm a working class hero. Went to a working class school.
Kept the country alive.
Pretty much, mate.
So what did you make of them? Come on, we've been chatting about sponsorship. If anyone wants to sponsor the podcast, let us know. We'll have to go through our
category. We would like sponsors, to be fair, because it costs quite a bit of money, to be honest.
Anyone who sort of sells TVs, I think, would be good. What are we looking for?
We need like recording equipment, really, like mixers and stuff like that. So anyone's got a good, decent mixer they want to sponsor. It's
tonic, Coke, lemonade, all the big mixers.
As someone said on Facebook the other day, we're only using a $14.99 Argos mic sitting in my bedroom. You know what I mean? I think he was trying to get. I was pretty sad, but he obviously don't.
You
know.
Are a bit. You
he
are,
obviously don't know how sad I am.
He also doesn't know whose bedroom you're in.
Yeah. Well, the.
That's it.
My missus will back. Sorry, we're going on subject again. My missus will back how sad I am. I literally. Have you ever seen the app Footballogy?
Got it.
Yeah.
But I update it.
I go through there looking at what games are on in the next coming weeks to think, well, maybe I'll go to Baku.
Can I get another ground?
Maybe I'll go to Baku and watch, and see what kind of level they're. And then I look at the stadiums and think, oh, I fancy that. Try and get it through her. She obviously says no. But yeah, I sit and she's probably thinking, oh, look, he's texting other girls. Well, I'm not. I'm just looking at stadiums in like Baku or the middle arse of Bulgaria and stuff like that. So anyway, Carl.
It sounds like a midlife crisis. Speaking of midlife crisis, it's Carlisle. Go for it.
Carlisle, 164 fans went out there. Fair play to him because it's probably the first half was the worst game of football I've ever seen. Boring. Carlisle, awful. I did watch and I had the Carlisle commentators.
Jesus. How biased were they, by the way?
He had just about to say.
Oh, one of them, my one God. Of them was, one for the red card on Pell's tackle.
And then the geezer, like, we spoke about this on the debrief, and the geezer, there's another geezer who obviously played the game, and he was like, nah, fair challenge. He goes, if that's my player doing that, I think that's fair. Do you know what I mean? He gets the ball. But one of them was so biased, like literally. And when they scored, he was going mental.
Oh, it was a really difficult one. And again, how many times do we say that? Like, it was a bad, difficult game. It was a bad game. I just don't think he's got a clue in terms of what is the best lineup, the best sort of way to play. He's clearly got an identity that he wants to play in terms of he wants three centre-backs, he wants two wing-backs, he wants to be a Sal to be behind a front two, to be aggressive. But I just don't think he's got the first idea. And I don't know the first idea of what our best lineup is. It's just, it's really, really difficult because I do feel for him because I think that he's genuinely trying. Losing young Coombs is massive because he was one of the few guys who genuinely was engaging and could think things through. But the way that we've been trying to play and the way that we have been playing, there's a massive disparity. And I don't really know. I mean, the only time we actually looked vaguely decent is when we just went front and back quick. We passed it back, oofed it through, scored a goal. And after that, we tried to play football. Magoma actually got the ball once and drove forward. And I was like, the moment they stood, I don't know if you noticed, but Magoma got a lot of ball on Saturday. Most teams would sort of press high and try and stop him. They were like, no, Magoma, you can have it. And Magoma was like, great. And he was trying to get, as soon as we got to the front third, we were like, it's all over the shot.
Yeah, I just like, first half, we didn't have one shot on target. Do you know what I mean? And then second half, we had that one, the one chance where Sal scores, and that's just from a long ball. I just, again, consistency, we say this all the time, but consistency with the players is just non-existent. Like Chislett, I thought, was horrendous again on Saturday. He was in and out of the game, didn't. You know, one thing that annoys me as well is players' parents or relatives or just get off social media when your boy is playing.
Yeah,
or
his old man. Is it old man at all the shots?
I don't know if it's his old man or his brother. I tried to distinguish, but I couldn't. But someone made a comment and didn't even at Chislett in it. And he's like, yeah, whoever it was kind of commented calling him a clown. It was like, come on, man. It's just ridiculous because your son ain't that great. You know what I mean? Or he didn't play that great. Sometimes he can be brilliant. Sometimes he can be awful. But
he's so, I guess, like I said last week, there are so many players who they're just, you know, they're going to be inconsistent or they lack a skill or a quality. But I just, yeah, it's a really weird one because plus
for me,
go on, let's get some pluses out.
Massive plus for me is Jack Curry at the moment. I thought he was superb again on Saturday. He was taking people on. He, you know what I mean, he looked that special, but I thought he was good. The other thing that I found funny was the Carlisle commentators who said they were quite biased, but they kind of saw it what we're seeing, and everyone was like, oh, actually, yeah, we're not just going mad. We're not just being negative for the sake of it. Like George Marsh said, oh, look, he's a tidy player, some good little touches, but never goes forward. And that's that's what the Carlisle players, commentator said, not what we said, not as fans, that's what Carlisle said.
So I just felt the whole game, apart from Magoma, there was very, very few people who actually got the ball and we're trying. And again, I talk to my kids at school and I'm always like, right, what are our two philosophies? And one is go forward. Can we go forward? Can you look to play forwards and be brave on the ball? Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Go forward, be brave. If you think you can take somebody on, go for it. If you think someone else is in a better place, it's a hard pass. Don't be afraid to play. Be expressive. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. I'm not going to tell you what, make a mistake. If you try to do the right thing, and there's only really Magoma who looks to be positive. Everybody else, and again, it reminds me of Sammy
Jack Curry.
Jack Curry looks like he wants, and they rated him, the commentators. But I just feel like Gunter's too sideways.
Yep.
I felt like Chislett was just trying to pass the buck a lot. Yep. Pell is, again, still needs game time. He looks a bit out. I mean, he had a good free kick, and I don't know. It'll be interesting. The one that I'm really interested in, and I'd be interested whether he gets, if he's as good or if he gets a chance, is Biller. On the fact that I feel like right wing back is a major area of ours. We've been trying to, we said about addressing it in the window. Gunter clearly wants to play in as the right of a three. I don't think he's got the legs to go forward. I feel like we're almost we're too predictable with Curry, and I wonder whether or not we're missing, whether we will regret not getting a decent right wing back in.
Well, we did say that when the window closed that we missed out on a couple of positions, we think, in our opinion. And I think, yeah, right wing back's one of them. I don't think what we got below Gunter is unfortunately good enough. I don't think Oguyanda is going to...
I don't see it either.
I don't see how we're pinning our hopes on Billa when, what, he's played how many games for us? Not many.
Well, I guess it's the same as Curry, though. Beginning of the season, Curry, I know he had the whole season.
Yeah, but Curry's had a whole season at Eastbourne Borough where Billa got injured when he went on loan again. Do you know what I mean? He seems quite injury-prone. You can't just throw someone in who's, like, at least Curry's had a full season at a men's football team.
What did you make of Carlisle, Lee? Did you think they were decent, average?
No, they're your typical League Two team. I said it on the debrief on Sunday that one thing I liked about them is their kind of shithousery kind of thing. They kind of, you know, when I thought Pell might have been getting sent off because the ref goes towards his back pocket. I think he kind of, where they kind of help us there is they kind of slow him down and he thinks about it. And the women,
I thought the forward was good, Patrick. He was super quick. And I thought he was very quick, quite direct. Almost, they almost had a player who was quite deep running and they had a real goal poacher. Dennis is the second top goal scorer. And I thought, I didn't think they were a bit. It looks like a horrible ground. I've not been there, but
it's a great ground.
I personally don't feel at all like they were anything to write home about. I thought they were. They will be mid-table this year. I said that
about other teams, though. I've not seen one team where I thought, maybe Mansfield when they battered us, but they've been having some mixed results.
Mansfield were pants, mate, in the first 20 minutes. We were all over like a rash.
Not seen a team where I thought, actually, this is a really good side. And I just don't think that Carlisle, as I said, their ball boys are liked because they proper time wasted when they were 2-1 up and they were deliberately doing it and getting away with it. And I just thought, we got to do that kind of stuff more as well when we go 1-0 up and 2-0 up. Do you know what I mean? We're just too naive still, which has been what the case of Wimbledon for since I've been supporting them really, since AFC Wimbledon formed. But did you see the thing the other day at the table? We are the worst team. The worst football team across the whole divisions in the last five seasons.
Is that true? In terms of points gained?
Yes, points gained over the last five seasons. There was a table. Here we go. Yes, I am that sad. Since the beginning of the 17-18 season, only two teams have done worse than Rochdale in EFL, AFC Wimbledon and Scunthorpe. Now third from bottom in the conference. For comparison, Man City have made 470 points while playing 30 fewer games. So we, Wimbledon, have got 234 points in five seasons and one relegation.
Less than 50.
And Scunthorpe, we've got 239. They had two relegations. Oldham, two relegations. Bolton, two relegations down there as well. But yeah, we are the worst team in the last five seasons.
Wow. It's just an interesting conversation. Like we spoke to Jack last week about, and again, I'm not going to talk too much about fan ownership. We've done that to the blue in the face. But it's just interesting about how people, I don't want to sell for a player or a person to come and buy it and we almost buy success. Since we've been in the Football League, we've had 1 year where we've been okay. And that was the year we got promoted. We got in that role. Arnie could have been sacked at the Accrington away game. It was half time. We were struggling. We got back to 4-4. And then we kind of just since that moment, we went on a bit of a run.
Do you also remember when we got promoted? Right. We played Accrington.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the ref blew up just as what's his name scores? Accrington score. That we wouldn't have gone up if the ref had not made that big mistake.
I do remember that.
Who was it? Billy something, the guy, he had mental issues. Retired.
Billy Key,
that was him. He scores, but the ref blows up for half time.
I remember that. At ours, yeah?
Yes. So you think that is a massive bit of luck, and we blame referees for everything that happens bad against us. But you think if the ref had not made that mistake and blown up then, we wouldn't have been getting up that year. But I just think, talk about fan ownership and stuff like that. I don't get this thing where people keep saying like, if we sell out, it doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't. We're not saying it does. We're not saying, right, we sell out, we get a Saudi in and he spends £1 billion. We're not saying we will go out. Look at Wrexham at the moment. Wrexham is still not smashing that league to bits. There's no guarantees they'll get out of that league. But they've given themselves a better chance. They've given themselves a more professional way of running the club. Look at the pitch. The pitch was awful. So they went and replaced it, £300,000. know what I mean? It's not, we're not saying yes, we'll stop being fan owned, we'll sell out, we'll have an owner in who's going to spend billions, we're guaranteed to get in the Premiership, European football.
That's never going to be what we're after.
But that's not what people are saying. And I think people keep getting real. And I think Jonesy made a good point. I want to say Jonesy made a good point today on Twitter saying it's not about being fan-owned possibly, or it's fan-run that I think who's annoying a lot of people at the moment.
The thing as well is that if you imagine that we generally decide that we're happy to sell, could you imagine the scrutiny that an owner's going to get through just to get the chance of buying us? There will not be a post-it note that's not been looked at before selling it to us. There is not a hope in hell that the people at Wimbledon who are anti this or against it will not check every single avenue of every single thing, of every single point. There is not a hope in hell that we're going to sell this. If we were to sell the club, which again, we may or may not, who knows. But there's no way it's going to happen without us checking everything with a fine tooth comb. And again, as I said on Twitter, I'm just frustrated at people who are just anti it for the sake of antiing it. And they don't actually think what is best for the club. This could be an option where we really give ourselves the financial security, the club security that we have been wanting, the opportunity where we can actually, rather than being a losing football team for 10 years, we can actually go, right, this is how we win a game of football. And we can actually give a product. You know, Wimbledon fans have been so loyal. I mean, look, we've had 10 years or 5 years of being the worst three. We're still loyal, turning up to fixtures, supporting managers. We've got probably one of the better records of actually backing a manager. We're not Shotgun. We're not Hartlepool. We're not Colchester. We're backing our manager through and through. And yet, they've still got these concerns. I'm not really sure. I don't really get it.
I think what we need to do, I think we'll take a break. I think when we come back, we'll continue this conversation and we'll also talk about the Don's Trust elections and what we want to see on people's manifestos and what kind of person we want to see going for the Don's Trust board. So we'll come back in a minute and we'll finish.
Sponsored by a cigarette brand.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back. And as previously, we're going to still carry on the conversation regarding fan ownership, selling, Don's Trust Board, the manifestos coming in for the elections that are going to be coming out soon.
Anyone is interested, Lee, in doing
it? We do.
I don't know many.
We outed someone on Saturday because he spoke to me previously about getting doing it, and then he came on a debrief and I said to him, oh, it's Richard Shepherd, his name is, he's on all socials now. He's, if you want to have a go and have a look at his what he has planned and stuff, he will be updating that more and more as the goes on. And also check out everyone's manifestos when they come out. We're not supporting one person in this. We're just saying, look, this is the person we know.
I can't believe how quick it's come around. It's bonkers.
We were saying this earlier, weren't we? Like, we've been doing this through the last elections. Obviously, Colin went for it, and we were going to get Colin and Niall on, weren't we, to have a debate against each other, one fan ownership, one non-fan ownership. And we're back to kind of, seem to me, like square one again. We've come back in a full circle. Do you know what I mean? It's the same conversations that we were having last year in the elections. Do you know what I mean? I just hope these elections, again, we want them to be fair, honest. We want everyone to have a say. We're trying to figure out if there's anything we can do regarding hustings and stuff like that. We've never done anything like that. We literally work off free software and try our best to get a good content of podcasts and debriefs and stuff out without really doing too much hard work or spending too much money. I just hope that people are going to read all manifestos and stuff like that. But yeah, it's come around really quick. And yeah,
we just tried to walk, haven't we? We've just kind of, we had so much promise and so many. I felt like such a positive energy. And we just haven't really gone anywhere. And I'm not saying it's anyone's fault who's in there or not, but I feel like we've just sort of treaded water a little bit. And we've got, we've quite kicked on. And whether or not those guys are to blame or whether or not it's just, it is what it is, the finances, the stadium, I don't know. But it'll be what we ask for them. What are we looking for? We're looking for, obviously, we want a decent demographic of all the people that are within the club.
It's a tough one for me because I'm not currently a Don's Trust member. I might join before the 30th of October deadline, where once you join after that, you won't be able to vote on the elections. But I don't know what I want really, because Part of me still likes the idea of fan ownership and stuff like that. I don't like the fan run part of it. I do think we need, this is what I was having a conversation with someone earlier regarding professionals coming in and being paid jobs, like we said last week, that some people need to come in as paid professionals, but you need money to pay people their jobs. Do you know what I mean? Where does that money come from? Do we cut the budget? We have to find £900,000 a year now to have a decent budget. I don't know. I don't know what I want. I don't know. It's hard because the Don's Trust Ball don't, for me, are really becoming something that we don't really need anymore because they don't run the football club. They're just there to offer governance and give what us fans want kind of thing. It just seems like we have so many different jobs for the fans to go speak to people, but they don't really do anything with regards to running the club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like we've got three SLOs, which are supporters, liaisons officers. What do they then speak to the Don's Trust Board, and then the Don's Trust Board goes there, or do we go straight directly to Graham Stacey or Luke McKenzie because they're the only ones who speak on Facebook and social media and stuff like that? They're the only ones that we can kind of have access to. As I said to you the other day, and we said it on Sunday regarding other board members, Graham Stacey, I know personally, and I probably could have a chat to him. Do you know what I mean? If I see him on a train and stuff, I've known him for years watching Wimbledon and Marie as well. But I don't know what they've done since they've gone onto the board. And I'm guessing if you don't know them people personally, you won't have a clue who they are, what they're doing. Freddie Flaxman's another one that's kind of gone missing a little bit. I don't know what his role now is, what he's doing in the background, what kind of stuff is he trying to find to make us a better run club. All I know is he's trying to sell NFTs on Twitter, which...
Do you think that we'll get a candidate over the line that is pro sale? Do you think we'll get one? Or do you feel we will?
Yeah, there's someone, I believe, manifesto wise, is going to be possibly looking at, not Colin Shergold kind of selling out the club. I like Colin, again, and someone I've known for years, but last year he didn't help himself with some of the stuff he was saying on social media. We need someone, again, with the expertise of being on a board and running a football club. I believe there is someone this year, I don't know who they are, but that's what people are saying. There is going to be someone who's going to be putting a manifesto on and standing with the guys of possibly selling the club. Again, remember we said last year the turnout was pretty poor and people use it as an excuse that people were happy. I'm hearing voices now and I'm being told stuff by fans. I'm not going to name them because they're coming to me privately, but people are fed up, really now fed up. They're not going to games. Like I'm going Bradford on Saturday, but I know a few people that would have missed it for the world and they're choosing other stuff to do now. I just think people are now felt like the comms is still really terrible in my eyes. Do you know what I mean? Like all across the board. It's like, look at NYC's injury. He's out for a few weeks. Like how many weeks? What is the injury? Is he going back to Brentford to do his rehab? Will he be back? When will he be back? Do you know what I mean? It's the same stuff as Hudley.
I mean, maybe though. Maybe this is the time where we get a reset. We get a reset opportunity. I mean, I'm always glass always half full. Maybe this is an opportunity where this is a catalyst. This is a catalyst for change. This is a catalyst for opportunities to change personnel, to change luck, to change perspective. But it's going to be really interesting to see. And again, as I said before, it's so hard because I just don't feel like it's a fair representation of our football club. We're not going to have, you know, I understand. About the Don's Trust and buying it has changed. I get it, but I just don't feel now that the Don's Trust is a fair reflection of the want of the fan base. And I don't see why you should have to pay 25 quid. 25 quid to own it, fine. But I don't see why you should pay 25 quid to have a say. I think that's a bit poor when, you know, my old man pays, you know, hundreds, he's paid thousands over the last 3 or 4 years and doesn't get a say. And then Jimmy from Stirling goes once a decade and he's playing champ manager of our football club.
One of my massive points, and I've been raising this point for years and I've been shouted down a few times for it. Just join it. It's only £25. Do you know what I mean? If you can't afford £25. But and Stu Deacons from 9 years and Mark Hendricks wrote a couple of blogs this week, which I thought were
really good, by the way. Really good.
Blog. Other than Stu's little dig at us, I'll let him off for that one. But do you know what I mean? Stu mentioned in his blog that why should someone who pays £25 a year, who don't even go watch Wimbledon, they could be living in Bangkok and love the idea of being owning a football club. They follow John Green, do you know what I mean? And all the nerd fighters and all them, they wow, brilliant. I only have to put 25 quid in. I don't have to buy a season ticket at 350 quid like most people do. I don't have to buy any merchandise, really. I don't have to spend money in the food and bar, which we spend a fortune, do you know what I mean? I get what you're saying, do you know what I mean? I've spent thousands, not just money, but time, minute. I'm going up to Bradford on Saturday, do you know what I mean? There's time when I wouldn't miss a game. I'd been going Carlisle, Bradford, been to Europe to watch Wimbledon. But because I don't pay £25, I don't get a say, which I think we need to change that way of looking at it, because we're getting new fans through the door. And new fans, some people don't like all the politics that goes behind football. I'm kind of sick of all the politics that goes behind it. And do you know what I mean? Since running this podcast, you do get people messaging you all the time saying, like, I mean, it's just my opinion. It's your opinion, my opinion, everyone else's opinion. And football's a mad world nowadays, Danny, that social media has changed it so much. Like, we would be in a pub having this chat, moaning and stuff like that, and no one else would know about it. But because we put it out there for the masses, social media, you get then people that you don't even know offering you opinions, and do you know what I mean? It's a mad world, football nowadays, and
it really is. And like I said, it's difficult because obviously we'd love to. I just feel like for the first time in ages that we need a change. We need a change of direction, and we need a change of idea or philosophy, because. But I just feel like we've been for 10 years been treading water, and that's been okay in League One, but it's not okay anymore. And we obviously was at King's Meadow, and it was okay to tread water because Plough Lane was coming, but now we're at Plough Lane, we shouldn't be treading water anymore. This shouldn't be the case, and we are still.
There's stuff I'm learning about Plough Lane that some of it ain't even fully open, fully being used. God. Do you know what I mean? We've got suites there. This is what we got promised. Someone messaged me today saying. Like with Plough, like the same as you, we had Plough Lane in the backbone. I'm just going to bring up the message now and go for a while, say no names. The thing that annoys me, when we were sold the dream of Plough Lane, it was going to put us in a whole new level. All the commercial and fundraising opportunities. What do we have? Empty suites and still sponsored by the same companies who sponsor the King's Meadow. And that's the thing. I think people, when we were going to Plough Lane, they thought, right, we'd be able to open it up. I know the people that sponsor us might be offering good money and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But did we go down the avenues of trying to get massive sponsors into, you know what I mean, sell these suites? Like, we've got suites, apparently, and they're not being used. As I said, with the Dutch Trust elections coming up, I'd love them to do a kind of question time style thing, you know what I mean? You have one host, you have all the candidates there, you get questions from, say, you in the audience, what do you know what I mean? And then they answer the question, and people can kind of, you know what I mean? You push people, because I think the last time people got the ump because some of the candidates were just not answering questions. And when they become Don's Trust board members, they were, you just did, you know what I mean? They become MPs. Yeah. They don't answer the question that was asked.
I hope you get there. I really do. But it's so hard to kind of be positive when you just feel like you're kind of running on a treadmill that's going too fast. And it just sort of seems to be like we're desperately 80% of the fans feel the need for a tweak or a slight, not necessarily a change of ownership, but at least a change of direction, a change of strategy, a change of philosophy, a change of understanding what we're doing is not, we can't do what we've always done because we're not getting anywhere, but we just kind of feel like we're regurgitating the same thing, trying to get the same money from the same people, and the well's dry. Like we've got to, just keep doing this.
Like the MD position and the head of football operations. Like we've been looking for that for months. What's the update with that now? Where are we with regards to getting an MD in? Do you know what I mean? Is that happening shortly? Who is it going to come in and do the MD? Are they going to come in and go, right, actually, the commercial department needs to have a full overhaul. We need to do this, this, and this. Or are their hands going to be tired again? Because one, we don't have the funds to change things around. Two, they don't get the Don's Trust ball back in. Do you know what I mean? It stops things happening. is where are we with regards to a head of football operations at the moment, which is badly needed? Do you know what I mean?
Don't people realise, Lee, that if you haven't had someone come in after a long time, we're probably not the, we haven't got, we're not the offer, we're not the attraction that we probably think we are. We're not there. And if we're not there, and we're not attracting people to want to get this job, we need to do something about it, because otherwise we're going to just get a mediocre bloke in the room. And I don't understand why fans can't go, you know, why we're moaning at the club. We're not, I don't see it that way. We're not offering, we're clearly not either looking in the right place or offering enough capital to make this role viable. And it's just, why do we feel that women are a bigger and better club and we're going to be amazing and this is all wonderful? We can't even get we can't get a director of football or anyone else coming, operations, whatever you want to, what language you want to use. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to come to our football club. So how can you expect any kind of genuine quality on the pitch if you can't get, nobody wants to come off the pitch? And then we go down the road and we pick Johnny Jackson, and now you're looking at it and thinking, was he the right man? Is he the best person? Or was he the cheapest option, or the youngest option, or the longest option? I don't know. I mean,
my question is, who employed Johnny Jackson? Because at the moment, someone mentioned this on Debrief the other day, we've got an unelected chair in Mike Butley. He put himself as chair now 2 days a week. I don't think the Donshaw's ball put him forward. It's himself that's done that now. So it's an unelected chair running the club 2 days a week. If we get an MD in or a director of football operations, whatever it's called, they're going to be under Mike, who only works 2 days a week. So who's the accountability going to be falling on regards to their position? So it means that someone's going to have, like, they can do pretty much what they want because your boss ain't going to be in for the other 5 days. And the issue you have is then once what you said there is people don't want to be an MD, people don't want to come in and do the director of football, but they then go, well, who's going to come in and buy the club then? If they don't want them two positions, we ain't got. And they keep saying to us that this is what I keep. Oh, you need to bring solutions. So it's like me and you, a taxi driver and a teacher, need to go out and go on The Apprentice or Dragon's Den. Yeah, you know, I think me and you should go on The Apprentice, and that can be our thing. Like, we're going to sell the club to Lord Sugar.
The thing is, though, Lee, is that you're not going to get loads of people willing to buy into a club if they can't get a level of control. They're two different offers. Trying to get someone to put in X amount of money into the club when they don't get a level of control is quite hard work. If you said, this is Wimbledon's story, they've reached an apex and they want the help of a businessman to kick on, or whatever you want to call it, you would not struggle, I think, finding someone to buy, invest or whatever in a club in South London with a ground in a place which is relatively good by travel, with a nice stadium that's ready to go. I just think it will be a relatively easy buy for someone.
Agree,
where you can get a level of success relatively quickly. We're not talking about the Championship where it's a poison challenge. We're talking about League Two, putting stuff in where you can finish the ground, put a few people in the ground so they can earn its money, pay off a bit of debt and make life easier. You haven't got a right. We're not asking for an infinite amount of money to make the squad better. You're looking at realistically three more players. I mean, I don't think we're going to struggle getting people if that is what we're wanting to do. I don't think you're going to struggle. But like I said, I don't mind if we don't sell it. I don't know if we do. But I do think it's what's important is the conversation takes place. No, and that for me is the bottom line. I don't care which way you go, but you do need to address this properly.
No, I agree. And I spoke to people today, and one person used to put money into the club as a sponsor, doesn't anymore because he just feels the club's going in a totally different direction than that he hoped. And why would he be putting a lot of money into the club? But who wants to buy when we are pretty much not for sale? So it's like going and buying a house, right, Dan, for £500,000, and them telling you can't do anything up. You can't do it up. You're not allowed to change the gardens. Do you know what I mean? You've got a front and back garden, but you can't change them. Do you know what I mean? If you do, you have to go through a committee of the agent that you've bought it from or the ex-owner. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's, you wouldn't do it, would you? You wouldn't buy a house if you had to then get voted to be able to change your living room. You wouldn't buy it, would you? And that's the problem at the moment. People want to say, like, last I heard was that Nick Robinson won't invest anymore as a Don Trust ball get the final say. So why would he put any more money in? I don't know how
to do it. You know what? Why exactly? Why would he? And I said, it's not a... I'm not against the Don's Trust. I'm not against the model or anything like that. But I just, for me, it's like you said, you know, as long as you're under my roof, then you can't. I mean, it's like living with your parents when you're 12. It's like we need to have a conversation, an adult conversation, where people go, okay, I don't like this at all, but I'm going to be adult enough to listen to what's being said. I'm going to stand still and I'm going to listen. We don't have to agree with it, but it's important that people understand now that it is an option. Because yes. I think that if you did that, people are just so afraid of the past and so afraid of things. And they're talking about our USB is great. We're not going anywhere. We've completely, the last decade has showed that we've completely stalled. We've gone nowhere.
We've gone backwards.
And it's not like we've been close to being anything. Well, I'm not saying we want to get championship, but we should be comfortable. We should be at a point where we feel like we could be comfortable enough in League One when we were nowhere near it. We were always bottom eight or so. This year was a year where we could have actually turned up, got a little bit of our mojo back, played some football, and then we're four on the spin playing against one of the better squads in the summer. I don't understand what needs to happen before someone goes, okay, we might need to have this conversation. It's not nice, but we need to have it.
But Danny, I think the club misread the room a little bit there as well, and with the expectations that they started driving from the start of the season. Do you know what I mean? If they turn around and said, look, we're paying off the debt of the ground. We've got, you know, we've got 3.5 million, I think it is, bond payments. We've got to be paid back next year. Do you know what I mean? That's, you know what I mean? And stuff. If they're honest with the fans are not stupid, but you've got to just tell us the truth. Put better comms out and tell us what is happening. And then we could have gone, right, yeah, 14th, okay, that's going to be the best we can do for a season or two.
And the whole point, Lee. If they also went, look, we're going to be 3.5 million in the can. Guys, I think promotion's going to be a bit tricky. What we need to focus on is developing new players. We're going to turn up. We're going to have a young, energetic team. I know everyone's going to go, oh, bloody hell, we had this before. But don't chuck us down a river of saying how we're going to be brilliant or whatever. I just don't.
And
it's a really poor decision.
And another point you just raised regarding people scared of the past, I totally agree with that, because every time you speak about someone else coming in and owning Wimbledon, all you get is bad owners chucked at you. So I had an example. Someone chucked Portsmouth. Oh, look how Portsmouth will run. And then you think now, since they've got new owners in, they're actually being run as a decent football club. They've got two decent manager and assistant manager, and they've bought Simon Bassey in, which we know is decent recruitment. They sit second in League One, and they look like they're actually going to be a well-run club. You look at Brentford, the way Brentford are run now with their owners. They used to be trust-owned, but they're very...
You could name 70
But this is what I mean, but you always get the old ones. You always get the old ones. Chuckley, and this is what I said to someone earlier. I said, and someone said exactly, bad owners get all the press, which is a bad reflection on society. But his mate was Reece Weston, ex AFC Wimbledon player, and says how well Brentford are doing and how loved their fan base love it. They've got a brand new stadium. They've got players coming through their B team that, you know what I mean? They're not youth team players, but they're picking up little gems here and there that have been released from, say, the Man U's, or they're picking up cheap players from Rangers. And like NYC, you come from Rangers into Brentford's B, scoring goals, come to us, and they're looking at putting him in the first team. They got money for Fors, 3.5 million for a player they signed for, what, 100, 200 grand? Do you know what I mean? Every time you say about ownership, all you ever get chucked at you is bad owners and what if this happens. But people forget Wickham. Wickham were trust-owned. They're pretty well-run nowadays. You know what I mean? They're doing all right. They yo-yo from
Championship. It'd be interesting that even the Peter, ones right? that were trust-owned, the reason that they are trust-owned or they were trust-owned is probably because they had a relatively challenging owner and then they were bought out by the fans, right? At some point, though, those fans have come to a point where they cannot take the club any further. That's the whole point of why they've sold to somebody else. If Wickham and Wrexham and God knows how many other clubs, Portsmouth and all these other clubs, yes, they've had bad owners, but they realise that they can only get to a certain point and then they sell to a good owner. They're going to be in exactly the same trepidation, concern, worry as us. And then they decide to deal with it and they make a decision. It's just, I don't understand why we have this sort of total phobia and hatred of it. I'm not for selling it. I just want to have someone to, I want us to be adult enough and to be, if we're talking about proper community, think about what is the most important thing for this football club. Not for me, get you off the agenda. For this football club, right now, what is the best way for us to move forward? Is it someone to come in and give us a level of security against the loan, against the debt, against everything else? Or is the best thing for us right now is for our community of 15,000, six who go regularly, they are the ones that are going to bail us out of this debt and or that or bail us out of the situation. But be honest and have an honest conversation. I just don't understand.
I think that's the point, honest conversation. I think
get emotion off of the table. It's not the place for that.
Yeah, and I think honest conversation is the main thing there, because we might say the club up for sale. No one wants to buy the club, for example. That's where we might go, right, there is no one out there that wants to put money into Wimbledon, because one, we've got 20 million worth of debt that they have to clear straight away off the bond and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? They have to then look at maybe building the ground up to become more of a championship level ground. And people might go, actually, I don't want to buy a foot club. Then we have to go, right, where do we go now? Do you know what I mean? Or we go, right, we are going to be just fan owned, fan run. We might then have to take a relegation or two and end up in the non-league again, which I don't think many people want that to happen. But we have to look at all aspects, be honest, as you said, take emotion off it and go, right, is there someone that's going to be willing to buy the club? If not, we have to look. That's why I said we need to go what road we go down. If no one wants to buy the club, then we have to do something.
Let's just hope, like I said, someone could come in and have a vote, and one of the Don Trust members can articulate what a lot of people are thinking of and have a good enough swag and a bit of confidence about them to be able to be like, look, we don't have to accept this, but we do need to talk about it. And this is what, you know, there'll be other people who'll come in and go, I'll take the club off you for X amount of money. You go, forget it. No, I've seen your track record. Forget it. Because you won't do it. But I don't understand if you've got somebody. And again, you know, I know Ryan Reynolds and that, they came to Wrexham. They could have quite easily come to us. They might have, who knows? They might have been a speculative email and said, actually, you know, do you know what? He was from Philadelphia. Wimbledon's Wimbledon. I can empathise with the situation. It could be 100 things. I just don't understand why you can't have a conversation about it. And if, do you know what, by the way, if you do actually have a conversation about it, you can get to the point where it's off of the agenda forever. And this whole conversation is nipped in the bud because you've actually had a conversation and you can go, we had a decent conversation and these are the 5 or 10 points that we realised that actually we earn our money because of this, and these are the reasons why we don't. And you could actually then publish it to the whole of the country, if you like, and go, this is the reason why we're staying. And people like myself and yourself could go, yeah, do you know what, we don't need that aggro, we're okay as we are. But you won't know unless you have a conversation, and that's what I think is a real shame. It's just like the American and the independents going, well, in our constitution you can carry a gun, brilliant, 250 years time and they've got the highest gun crime in the whole world, or because something that happened 250 years ago, 150, whatever the year is. I don't get, the world has moved on. Why can't we, after 20 years, it'll be 25 by the time we have this conversation, why can we not have a conversation and go, this is where we're at. Is this still what we want? Is this still what we need? Is this where do we sit in the world of football? Because everyone thinks we're a lot of teams' second favourite team. But we're not going anywhere. So,
Danny, if we don't have the conversation, there might be one conversation we have to have, is that the fact that we can't pay the bonds back, we can't pay our debt back, the club then goes into administration and someone just comes in and buys it anyway.
Of course. Because I don't understand
that won't happen, but as I said, I'd rather have that conversation before that even gets near, or even, do you know what I mean, a couple of years down the line. I'd rather have, as you said, have an honest conversation with the so-called owners of the football club. Do you know what I mean? Not even just the Don Trust members. I'm talking about season ticket holders, people that have an interest in Wimbledon, because we have the facilities now to have meetings and AGMs and special meetings. Do you know what I mean? And have them. Well, again, Stu makes a good point. Why do we always have meetings when it's impossible for a lot of people to go to? Have it before a game. Do you know what I mean? Have them after a game. We've got the stuff there. Maybe just 1 week. We don't spell hospitality. Do you know what I mean? It ain't going to break us that bad. That after the game, that major area is going to be used for a special meeting of Wimbledon fans.
Well, because like you said, I wish anybody who wishes to go the very best of luck, regardless of your opinion, regardless on your stance on fan ownership, if you're prepared to put yourself in and you've got the credentials and you're voted in, then we wish you the best of luck. And just, if we could be adult enough to maybe have a conversation, that would be, I think a lot of people would appreciate it. I also think it's the elephant in the room that needs to be addressed. And I think that the moment you deal with the elephant in the room, we can all kind of draw a line and move on. At the moment, it's, you know, it's Gavin and Stacey, what's in the drawer type thing. What happened on the fishing trip? Like, let's just get it out there and we can all get on with it, rather than this skullduggery. It just seems unnecessary.
Yep, no, I agree. Right, should we move on? And when we come back, we'll discuss the weekend's game against Bradford.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Welcome back. And finally, we're going to be discussing the big game against Bradford City on Saturday. I'm going up there, Danny.
How big a game do you think this is then? Come on, we've had food loss four in the bounce.
Oh, massive.
Is this, are we getting to the territory where another loss and we're looking at changes? Or do you feel like it's a big game because we just need to stop the rot?
It's a big game because we need to stop the rot. Unfortunately, we're playing one of the best teams in the league. Or supposedly best teams. Again, I'm not seeing much from this league where I think, oh, we aren't shit scared of anyone. But they have got Cook up front who's scoring goals for fun, and it's a tough place to go. Valley Parade. It's a great.
You'd think Bradford will be one of the ones up there, wouldn't you?
The thing for me is after this.
Have they still got Mark Hughes manager?
Yes, and Julian Rodgers as number two.
Bloody hell! That's so good effort, isn't it?
For me, it's after this game is the big. It becomes very big after that. So I think we'll lose on Saturday. I just can't see us beating Bradford. They're a good side. We're not. I just think after that, when we have the Colchesters and stuff like that, that's when we need to start putting points on the board. But yeah, Bradford, I'm going up there. I'm getting the train up there. I'm taking a couple of mates from I grew up with from school. One's a Wickham fan. One's a Spurs fan. So yeah, they're in for an absolute treat watching Wimbledon at Bradford. I think I'm looking forward to the day out more than anything, getting the train. I know Jack Mortney, who was on the pod last week, he's getting the same train up there as well. He loves it, that guy's in there, doesn't he?
He's brilliant, amazing. Though. It's just feel so frustrated for those people who are prepared to do that. And they're prepared to go up there. They love the club that much. They want to support the team. And then what they're getting is not just no value for money, but they're getting, you know, they're frustrated every single week. But I don't know, I'm with you. I'm finding it very, very difficult. And I'm finding the Zach Robinson decision more and more frustrating on the fact of got a decent young forward who just signed after a protracted thing. I can only imagine that he wanted to go. We signed him, we'll get rid of you. But I'm finding it a bit frustrating. Now we've lost MYC for 8 weeks, potentially. 8 weeks, that's what, not far after Christmas break and with the World Cup, etc. I really hope that to be honest with you, I don't mind losing, but I just want to see a couple of people take a bit of responsibility, look to go forward, be positive, be brave, make those tackles. If you get beaten by a good bit of football, we get beaten, but let's not just roll over. And again, you know, on Saturday, it was 50% of the ball for each team. We've had six shots, they've had 14. It's just like, can we find a way of being more positive? But again, when you look through that team, there's just not
anyone I can
not
see
a huge is, amount of again, creativity.
Jack Coppell, as I agree with you earlier, he needs games, but he's the only one who's trying to do things. He's trying to get players off. The people I'm disappointed with is people that we thought would step down into League Two and smash the people like George Marsh, people that don't seem interested, don't seem like they want to have a fight or get involved in anything like that. I'm hoping that we change it about with Hudlin playing on Tuesday in the Johnson Paint, that he comes in. I'd have him and Davison up front with Asal just behind. Chislett be dropped to the bench. Because as I said to you earlier, off air, we kind of, with Hudlin, you might not think he's that good and stuff, but he causes issues. We've got some good people that can put in some good deliveries. Brown can put in them. Jack Curry can. Gunter can on the right. If we just put balls into him, then he, you know what I mean? He can cause issues and just cause chaos. And hopefully Asau and Davison can get stuff off the back of it. But do you know what I mean?
Would you change the way that we play, Lee? Would you be now?
Well, we're bringing Hudlin on.
We've done the passing out the back. We're now going to play a bit more.
You go a bit more route one if you put
the back.
Yeah, I think that's how we should play anyway. But it's always been a Wimbledon way to go quick. Like, this is what used to annoy me when I was growing up and I split Wimbledon and people go, oh, you're just a long ball game. We weren't. We played some lovely football at times, but we do what Liverpool do nowadays. We went back to front so quick people thought it was on ball. It wasn't. It was just get the ball in the other opposition's half, then we play football there, which worked for us. And it doesn't seem to work for us playing football in our own half and not going forward with it. But I just can't see us.
I'm kind of with you with the energy we've got, the players that are out. I think we're going to be a bit light on Saturday, but I would take that for I'll take a better performance. I'm not going to watch any of it. What's interesting as well is the communications from a lot of people who have just said, look, I need a breather. I just need a breather from Wimbledon. I feel like the disappointment from last year plus this year where it was a new dawn, a new start, etc. It just sort of hasn't quite come out. And I'm desperately, desperately hoping that we get a bit of something, but I can't see a score. And I think it'll be a relatively comfortable 2-0. And if we get anything from it, I'll be over the moon.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think when you looked at the fixtures, you thought these four runs of games were always going to be tough. You know what I mean? Who was it? Yeah. Barrow, Northampton, Carlisle, then Bradford. Carlisle and then Bradford 2 weeks in a row, like away games, quite tough places to go. Yeah, I think if we can get anything, I said I'm going up there. I'm going to take some Modelo with me. Good American Mexican beer.
Nice.
Modelo, have a few of them. I'm not really fussed about the game too much. I'm just more about the day out on Saturday. I'm looking forward. I love Bradford. I think it's a great place. Unfortunately, we know some Bradford fans, and Mike is a great lad. He goes to watch England home and away, and England are playing this weekend, so he'll be off doing that. But yeah, Bradford. I just wish they put us in the proper away end, which is behind the goal.
Are you on the side which had the fire, the Valley Parade fire?
Yeah, they put us on the side. That's where they put all the away fans now. That's where they'll put us, which is annoying. I like the little
stand. I mean, who knows? Knowing us and knowing how we go, maybe this is the game that it can happen. But just sort of when I watch us, I always feel like I can pick when the season went a bit weird. And the Mansfield second half, or the end of the first half, the capitulation seems to not knock the stuffing out of us. And I'm hoping we get something better. It'd be interesting. One of the old lads I used to work with, his brother-in-law is Lee Angle. Is it brother-in-law
Lee Angle.
The cousin, I don't know who it is. But he's with Lee Angle, which was quite interesting. And he's been up there. And obviously, yeah, someone like Mark Hughes. Yeah, he's
at Newport. Newport before that. But yeah, I said, I just can't see. I hope we're wrong. And I hope I got there and we win 1-0 or something and we score last minute, or we go 2-0 down and win 3-2. Do you know what I mean? I want one of them kind of games that kind of, do you know what I mean? We look down and out and we kind of turn it around and say it happens and it's a good result. And we can start singing, we've got Super Johnny Jackson, instead of just singing, we've got Johnny Jackson. He don't know what we need. We're shit at the back, nothing can attack because we're not going to win the league.
I mean, that's not great, is it? But let's be positive. But I just, I'm hoping that we get some sort of movement. But we'll see. We'll see if we can get anything going.
It's the podcast fault, because since we started this podcast, it's been nothing but negative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, we're going to do famously well on Saturday. And then if there's anything anybody wants to talk about over the week and you feel like it would be a really good topic for discussion, let us know. We'd love to chat about it. Maybe I'll do like a little quiz night. We'll get you and Jack and I'll do like a little quiz.
You've got to remember, Jack's only about 16, so he don't
really know. Okay. Scrap it.
Yeah, I have to be modern ASC woman, because I think
maybe we should do a battle of the podcasts. Maybe I'll do a quiz, you versus Stu, or we'll get some other guys on, who knows. But it'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be lovely to get to a point, wouldn't it, where we can feel like, yes, do you know what, we're properly, this is what, like we were at the beginning of the year, we're so optimistic and so positive, and we just haven't quite like managed to.
Football has a way of just beating you when you're down.
I know, slapping you in the face.
It does it when you think. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but it is what it is. As I said, we'll be back Sunday with the debrief again. Hopefully it'll be better. We can be talking about good things that have happened this week, and the win against Bradford hopefully will be one of them. But yeah, I'll be going up there, Danny. If you are going to be watching, I'll try and give you a wave.
Oh, don't. Wear something nice. Wear something tight.
Yeah, all my clothes are tight because I weigh too much.
I know, mate. I'm telling me about it. I'm on the gluten highway at the moment. I know exactly what you mean.
Right. Danny, been an absolute pleasure as always.
It has. I'm off to deal with a very, very loud screaming baby.
I'm off to go to bed. Come on, you dogs.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at the Wombles Had a Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.